Welcome to Inspired, a PLTW podcast. Today, I've got an amazing guest here. This is the third in our series of PLTW alumni episodes where we spotlight students who have gone through PLTW programs and moved on to college and career. And we kind of want to tell those stories so that folks out there can kind of see the journey of a PLTW student. And so today we've got Sophia Craig here. I'm not even going to get into introducing. I'm going to let her introduce. So Sophia, tell us a little bit about you right now, and then we're going to dig all the way back and come all the way through.
So I'm currently a freshman at K-State, about to go into my junior year, actually, a little bit of a jump. But I am in the Bachelor's of Arts program with a specific focus in studio art, with a plan to get a master's in art conservation. And so that's kind of where I'm at and going through all the college things. So.
Yes. So for folks who are tuning in, watching on YouTube or listening, they might be saying to themselves, self, why are we talking to this person who is a PLTW alum and she is in fine arts in college? And we're going to get there. So you're at Kansas State, and you went to where? Where'd you go in high school?
I went to Bishop Miege High School out in the Roland Park area.
Yes, which I learned how to pronounce that recently, too recently to admit. But yes, we spoke to we had the director of marketing from Bishop podcast a couple of episodes ago. You're a junior now. Mm-hmm. Take me in the Wayback Machine, right? All the way back. Let's go back to like sophomore year. And I pick sophomore year because my daughter is 16. She just finished her sophomore year of high school. And we're at that point with my daughter where I think from what I've gathered from you, your sort of academic journey really sort of kicked off.
Yeah.
Talk to me about getting into Project Lead the Way courses. What courses mm-hmm. did you take at Bishop, and what were the big sort of takeaways that you got in maybe your sophomore, junior year?
So I'm pretty sure my freshman/sophomore is when I took the IED and POE classes, so kind of those introduction classes for PLTW. And so at the time, I feel like that was really just a really nice basis of kind of just how to attack projects of like the STEM nature, but also just how to attack any type of problem solving activity. And that's also when I got into robotics. And so that was a huge thing too, that was very closely tied to PLTW at my school. Like they kind of were one in the same with how we had it set up. So that was really interesting and kind of just learning the steps to attacking problems, just those strategies and everything. And then really from there, it kicked off into the more like specific classes. And so, I think I took a break my junior year, and then I actually took two classes in my senior year. And so those were the architecture and civil engineering and the capstone classes. Yeah. And so that was kind of my courses in PLTW. And at the same time, I was also doing like a lot of art classes at the same time, and those were like all of my electives in high school. Yes.
So yeah. You had an eclectic schedule for sure. What I love most about that is the thing that comes to your mind when you're talking about those initial Project Lead the Way courses is the project-based, mm-hmm. problem-based
yes.
part of it, and I think that's I wish every student in high school was able to experience that kind of learning, because you said it. It's in this world of STEM,
mm-hmm.
but that kind of thinking and that experience applies to anything.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what you just said. You're like, it was project, kind of project management of any project, which is. These days some folks would say, oh, these are soft skills or these are transferable, whatever you're going to call them. they're really, really valuable.
Yeah. They're good skills. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, because that was, those classes definitely were very different from anything else I ever took in high school, because like you said, they're only projects. So like, we'd get a prompt, you get like a little like fake client or something, and then you'd go from there, and typically you had free rein or like whatever the client's aspects were. And so I'm like, those type of skills you make, they are like, obviously we're doing STEM situations in them, but like that really is your whole life. Even if you're not STEM, you're gonna have a client or like a problem you're solving. So yeah.
you mentioned amazing. You mentioned freedom.
Yeah.
As a former teacher, there's always sort of a balancing act between reining in and providing freedom. And I definitely, in my background, leaned into the freedom.
Yeah.
When you are a high school student, when you are in these project-based courses and you're being given that freedom, what impact do you think that had on you when you were 16, 17?
I think it really, I think, actually helped me bring in my more creative side to things. So I loved STEM, and obviously, like, that originally was what I was going to pursue, was structural engineering and or architectural engineering. And so for me, that freedom, I felt like, made it more of a blend between, like, this very scientific step-by-step type thing and kind of, like, you get to come up with ideas. Like, there's a whole brainstorming side to it when you have that freedom for what your project's gonna be. Especially when like there was no like fake client and it was really just like make this type of a thing or like design a building, like you just had to do whatever you want. And so that for me was really important because I got to bring in more of the design and art aspect of it that I really loved.
That's such an important, it's an important dynamic sort of in teaching and learning. Again, that I think that students like you are able to experience and latch onto, because I think for me, when I was teaching, giving some of that freedom also meant that it's almost like a pie, and if I give more pieces of freedom, then you are able to take more ownership of the thing. And so it feels less like a project that's been foisted on you and more like a project that you get
to design to build. It's your own project and not just another assignment.
And yours is going to have its personality and its spin.
Yes.
Opposed to, you know, the next group or whatever. Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Really cool.
That just brings one assignment to mind that I did in my civil engineering architecture one. We had to make houses out of cereal boxes, and this was like our first assignment in the class. And so everyone's like just making these simple houses, and then mine was just bright pink compared to all the other ones. I decided to paint it like pastel pink, and it was a Victorian era style house, and I'm like, just things like that. It was just so fun to add a pop.
And there were a little pop of color.
Yeah.
And you were thinking about a style that maybe other students in the classroom were like, they didn't know Victorian what? Yeah. See, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that you were able to take your sort of your inner interests and personalities and apply
really reflect it.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool. So, you know, you work through those initial courses and Project Lead the Way. You start gaining these skills. You go into, you know, the junior year and senior year, and you start thinking about, you know, the big stuff, right? You know, you get to that point where it's like, okay, I want to, what's the next step? Is it college? Is it 4-year? Is it 2-year? Is it workforce? Yeah. When you're in that frame of mind, what was your thought process? What was your, I know this already, but I want our audience to hear sort of this journey. So you decide, okay, I think I'm going to pursue a 4-year school. You've got all your credits and all of the things squared away to make that step. How many schools do you apply to? Where do you apply? What's your process there?
So my process was a little different. So in my internships, I actually like grilled people on like what they went, where they went to college, like what they talked about, kind of similar to just asking questions like you are right now. And so that really helped me hone it in, because I did that my sophomore, junior year, those summers. well, technically my junior and senior summer, but yeah. And so there, I really asked a lot of people about structural engineering programs, because that's what I really wanted to go into at the time. And so I chose K-State because it was the only in-state school that had a structural focus for their architecture program. And so I really just applied to the one school and went there, which, not crazy common. Right. Most people apply to multiple, but K-State, it was in-state, like financially it was well. And so, and I know a lot of people from my high school go there. So I'm like, let's just do it. I don't think I even toured this college before I went, actually. So yeah, I was like, we're going to go. We're just going to, that's our choice. And so I'm there now. I'm loving it. It was a good choice. I'm absolutely loving it. And the art professors I've actually met there are fantastic. Looking back, I may have applied to like actual art school or something if I had known I was going to go that route, but I have no regrets. Like I'm loving K-State. And so really for me, like choosing college, it was really just looking, one, a lot at the practicality of it. I needed a lot of scholarships and everything, so financial aid was a big thing for me. And also my program was very niche at the time. And so I was like, there's only one option that offers it, so that's where we're going. Yeah. So
we drove in this morning and we grab a little coffee and we're kind of talking a little bit, and the more we're talking, the more we're like, oh, wow. Like our journeys are very similar. And so I that resonates with me, because I had a similar experience, which I shared with you, and I'll share here. When I was in high school, I was very into science, as you were with engineering, and I thought I was gonna be, work at Eli Lilly or something like that. And I to this day love science. And I transitioned from that realm into something that ultimately I was naturally better at.
Yes.
And so my freshman year went from biology to English education, which we'll talk about how different your classes are these days in a minute. But I had a similar thing where I realized that it's one thing to be very interested and excited about some content and some area of professionalism.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best thing for your own skill set and your own strengths. And so we had that conversation this morning, and you were like, ding, ding, because that spoke to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So then talk to me, knowing that,
let's
back up one step. So your capstone project,
because
I think from what I understand, that was the tipping point.
Yeah, that was like the start of the transition for me. Yeah.
So talk us through what you were doing in your senior classes, your capstone project, what it was, and what impact that had on you moving forward.
So the way my teacher had the capstone project set up, because it's a very like open-ended class, you can choose any project you want, and it's kind of for all PLTW students. So you get people in there from like the biomedical side, but also the architecture and just everything. And so he had it set up where we made a big list of all the projects that we were interested in, and it had to just be solving a problem of some sort or improving something. So me and my friend that were in there, we both did a lot of art. We were in all the APR classes together and everything, and so we were like, let's make eco-friendly acrylic paint. Really the paint like industry, you don't see a ton of development happening in it often, at least for artist grade paint. Maybe like what you see, the paint they're using for like houses and stuff you see, but not really on artist material. And so we were like, let's do this. Let's make it eco-friendly, because if you didn't know, it's a hazardous waste to wash acrylic paint down the sink. And they're actually planning on putting warning labels, because you shouldn't be washing it down the sink with how much plastic is in it right now. And so we really wanted to like try and improve that. And so our teacher approved it. He said he was a little hesitant. He didn't know if we could actually do it or not at first, but by the end of the semester, we did have paint that you could use. It was not perfect. It was really matte for some reason. And so we really worked through the process of like understanding acrylic paint as it currently is on like a chemical basis, like using the binders and everything in it, and we really just deep dived into that the whole semester. It was a lot of research and articles. And then the second half was testing it, actually trying to make a viable product. And then also taking it to science fairs, because we wanted to actually present ours. Not a lot of groups in our class did. And so I think we took it to 2 or 3 science fairs, if I remember right. And we presented it, and at that point we had actually made a paint you could use, and so people like had so much fun painting on like this little sketchbook we had out and everything for it. So it was a really in-depth process, because like that's the first time in PLTW that I feel like you have genuine full freedom. So like in everything else, like you have at least somewhat of a timeline or like a project basis, but this completely, we came up with the problem, we found the problem, we chose to attack it, and so we had to give ourselves a timeline and steps, like what to do next. And like when you're creating something from nothing, like you're kind of like, sometimes we had moments where we're like, what do we do next? Like this didn't work, so I'm like, where do we even start looking for the next thing? And so once we wrapped that up, we actually won 3rd place in one of the science fairs, so that was really exciting. Wait, no, 2nd place, not 3rd, sorry. One better, but that was really exciting because like those fairs also were really validating for us, and more that like, because in art, you don't see a lot of research, like other than like it's all kind of behind the scenes if there is any. And so for us, it was really scary at first because we're like taking this to fairs and like all of these other people have like medical or STEM things, and we're like, we got paint. I'm like, we're over here with a really like colorful sign and paint. And so, And so like, that was really nerve wracking for us. Cause it's like, we're doing this very still STEM based project, but it is very much not a STEM field. And so that was the first fair we went to. We're like, should we be here? Like, is this right? But like, it was very validating though, in that like a lot of the judges and everything were like, this is still a ton of chemistry. Like they were very impressed with the scientific side of it and our process and everything. Like one person even told us we should try and like get this to a point where we could patent it and everything. And so that's kind of what I'm doing now.
That to me is such a great sort of culmination of and capstone. Like, this is the time of year, the last sort of couple of months of the school year. As the director of social media, I get to see everything that's out there when it comes to Project Lead the Way. And you know, we sort of affectionately call sort of April, May, June sort of capstone season. That's when you start seeing teachers and students sharing like where they've gotten to. You know, I don't see a lot of the journey of capstone, or the, you know, there's not a lot of Instagram posts where folks are sharing the, well, we have no idea where to go from this. Like we got to a point, we're stuck. But I do get to see the end point, and it's such a rewarding thing for students in capstone, for teachers who helped guide through that, and then obviously for everybody here at Project Lead the Way, that's what we are, what we do our work for, is to ultimately create environments where students can feel that accomplishment and so forth. What I am interested in, one, there's a lot to be interested in that story, but one of the things I'm really interested in is the teacher's reluctance. I don't know, but to me that's awesome. It's awesome that your teacher was kind of like, I don't know if you can actually pull this off, but get after it.
Yeah, that was his biggest worry. He was like, just in our timeline, he was like, because he also knew at that time we'd only taken Chem 1, and so like a lot of the things we were reading and looking at were definitely past Chem 1, and so he was definitely like a little hesitant, but. That was kind of also the theme of the class. A lot of us were very ambitious in our project choices. So actually only us and one other group actually finished our projects to a point where it was a viable product, or at least semi-viable by the end of semester. And so that was like his biggest hesitation, but he slowly got confidence throughout the semester, especially once we started making test products, because it was really funny. At first we did a lot of research with starch because that's actually really big in the pharmaceutical industry, and it caused all the right chemical reactions because we needed an emulsion reaction and all that sort of thing. And so we were cooking starch in the classroom because we didn't wear it in a lab. We were just in the classroom, so we had a little burner.
Yeah.
And we had like heat gloves on, and we're over here cooking starch to make it more viscous. And my teacher was just he was laughing at us sometimes because like we were the only ones in there. We had like goggles and gloves and everything, and we're just over here stirring our little vials of starch and water to try and make a binder for paint. Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, it's very commendable of your teacher to have doubts and rather than rein you in, there was enough. There's a chance to let you guys, you know, pursue it, which I think is really commendable of the program and of that teacher in particular.
No,
again, speaking to the freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. And so you get to this point, you've created a thing, you have, you know, done lots of chemistry, you've done lots of testing, and then you present that.
Yes.
Then you decide, I'm assuming you decided on K-State before.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah. So you knew you were going to go to K-State.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what was your, going into Kansas State, what was your major?
Going in, I had applied as an architectural engineering student. So I had been admitted in the engineering program. And when I went in for my freshman year, I was technically an engineering student still, I believe, if I remember right. I still was technically in the engineering program.
Yeah.
But I was getting an art minor first. So my first semester, I really still just took a lot of art and gen ed, finished up a few gen ed classes.
Yeah.
And then that semester, I had already decided I didn't want to do engineering. So my first semester there is when I kind of worked on transferring out of that program. I was undeclared for like half of that first semester because of that and was just getting my minor. And then spring is really when I figured out what I wanted to do, because in the fall I had talked with one of my art professors, and he turned out to also be a big nerd on acrylic paint.
Yeah.
And so he knew all about like the binders and research I had done.
Time out. How, just ballpark this for me. Quote, big nerd on acrylic paint, end quote.
Yeah.
How many people in the world do you think fall into that category?
I have no clue. There's not even that many artists I've met that know, like, the amount of knowledge I have.
You need a t-shirt. You need a t-shirt that says, I'm a total, like, acrylic paint nerd. And, like, nobody would think.
It's really funny because, really, it's only the professors, there's two only that I've met in the art program that, like, have kind of that background knowledge of, like, how the paint's made.
Yeah.
Because that's really what you got to look at and not just the parts of the paint application that are applicable to artists.
Because
there's still a lot of actual chemical side of things that you can look at as an artist and consider in choosing your mediums, like how it reacts to light and all of those sort of things, and the glass, the temperature it's supposed to be kept at and that sort of stuff. But really understanding like the specific ingredients and like the polymer science of it, whole new ballpark.
Yeah,
and I got really lucky that he was also interested in this. And so me and him just nerded out about it. We talked about it. And now we're doing a research project with that, kind of further developing it to a point where I can publish it and all that this summer, actually. This is when it's going to get done this summer. So
nice. Yeah. It's sort of observing how media react, like you said, to over time, to light, to temperatures, to humidity, all those things. If you don't go that next level the way that you are, what you're really doing is just observing and sort of anecdotal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what your capstone and then kind of your research now is going that next level to sort of legitimize the chemical basis for those outcomes.
Yeah.
Am I saying it about right?
Kind of, yeah. And then by the end of my research project, it's one where it will have an actual product. I'm still going to try and make a viable shelf product for acrylic paint. That's really the big end goal, is to get that made like a usable recipe. Because in high school, we were using starch, and that was mainly because we didn't have access to any further like chemicals and stuff. Yeah, like we couldn't just do that research because it is high school. It is there is a lot less materials available to you in that sense for research projects. And so now that I'm in college, it is definitely a lot more open-ended and a lot more into the chemistry side of it. And I'm loving that. I very much love science. It definitely was not my career path I learned during college. So I really love art conservation in that sense, that it's a really nice blend of the two. So
yeah, that was my takeaway from just my initial conversations with you to kind of learn what it is that you've been working on, was sort of the science and the chemistry is integral to what you do now, but it's not the only.
Yes.
It's not the sole goal, if you will.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. I really think it's a super cool sort of amalgamation of things that you learn in a PLTW environment and then your own sort of interests and skill sets. That's kind of the, you know, as you told that story, I'm sure folks are listening and watching and they're like, wait a minute. He's talking to this this college student about their PLTW experience she's not in engineering.
Yeah.
She's not in computer science or biomed. And that's the whole point. That's the whole that was why I thought your story is so necessary to share, is because of kind of what we talked about earlier. The sort of the skill set that you gained helped you not only find sort of the path that you wanted to pursue, but it made you more capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about, your goals moving forward and what you think were maybe like, what's the biggest takeaway that you got from your high school experience that led you to where you are now?
Mm-hmm. So my plans right now are to finish off my bachelor's degree first, my 4-year, and then grad school for art conservation, because there really aren't any undergrad options for that. So grad school. So I'm going to hopefully get an internship with a museum or lab next summer, and then work from there.
Yeah.
Really, that'll really make it concrete that that's what I want to do. For me, internships like really do that. Just getting hands-on and seeing the work you'll be doing.
Yes.
They're really important in that sense. So, and then grad school is kind of anywhere and everywhere. There really isn't a lot of conservation programs in the Midwest, or any to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So that's really my plans for the future, is to go at that. And the end goal is working with a museum or a private practice in conservation. And then overall, just throughout from like literally freshman year of high school till now, and even further from now, my experience in PLTW and just those form of classes and projects and everything, they really taught me, at least for me, to take your time, and that you can't really be behind, like in the larger sense, not like in a project timeline. You obviously, you have a due date, you have a timeline, but in the larger sense, like there's no falling behind. Cause like for me, at least one thing, that was really scary when I went to art from engineering is like, I was worried that like I'd be starting over or like swapping degrees or something like that and changing so many times. Like I know it scares a lot of people. They're like, I need to figure out what I need to do. Like, and for me, I'm like, one thing that I feel like is kind of just a culmination of a lot of advice I've gotten is really, you can't be behind. Everyone has their own timeline of life. And like, I know people my age that already have their own apartments and are like going trade school and like have a career and everything already.
Yep.
And then I'm over here doing a 4-year and like still living with my mom when I'm on breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
It's just everyone has their own path. And really not being scared to start over was a big thing for me. Like just jumping ship and doing what I felt I was a lot more passionate about rather than what I thought would be a stable, good career that I just know a lot about. That was a huge part of it for me.
That's one of the things that we hear a lot when we talk to PLTW students, when we talk to teachers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the terms that we use often is career-connected learning. And the idea is just that through all of the programs that we offer, all the way from pre-K, mm-hmm. all the way through to Capstone, there's exposure
yeah.
in that in those courses to yeah. jobs mm-hmm. and careers that students might see and immediately latch onto.
Yeah.
And I think what's misleading about that is that folks, the assumption would be if we have structural engineering
yeah.
as a career connected,
mm-hmm.
an example in a PLTW course in high school, that it's only to drive students to that.
Yeah.
And what I would argue, and I certainly would do this, mm-hmm. is to say it's really more about the exposure.
Yeah.
It's more about see this thing, maybe you love it and you latch
yeah.
onto it, but maybe it also shows you the truth of every
mm-hmm.
Element of that career,
yeah.
and it gives you the vivid picture enough that you say, that's not quite
yeah.
what I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite where I'm at. That's not quite where my strengths lie or my true passion.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like that's kind of the experience that you had, where you had the courses, you saw the things,
mm-hmm.
you did see something that you thought was it,
yeah.
And then you readjusted and recalibrated.
Yes.
And that speaks to, you know, your own personality, your intellect, your grit, flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great advice for anybody listening, any classroom of students that's,
yeah.
you know, sophomore, junior, senior, is... I like that it's just, you said you can't be behind.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not a thing.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Which is, I never thought of it but like that, but like it's not a thing. It,
yeah.
It's your mm-hmm. journey. It is your track.
Yeah.
And it's not a necessarily competition.
Yeah.
And you're not keeping
yeah.
up with
there's,
others.
There's no race to it.
Right.
Which I feel like a lot of people look at it like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta get a career, be successful. Like, you're trying to get at it as quick as possible. And I'm like, I mean, I'm still trying to do it as efficiently as possible, but, like, you're not competing against anybody. And it's, I mean, for me, that was really important to, like, frame it like that, because I can get really competitive and, like, really hard on myself when I feel like I'm behind on compared to my peers and stuff, especially in high school. I'm a lot less now that, like, since senior and freshman year of college, I'm, like, I've a lot less in that mindset, and it's been so much better. Because, like, it kind of just lifts that stress of, like, I have to succeed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more you have to succeed in what you want your life to be, and not what other people expect of you or what everybody else is doing in that moment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
yeah.
Really cool. Really cool. When I spoke, I was introduced to you by a team member here at Project Lead the Way, Martha McCabe,
yeah.
who works a lot in the Kansas City area,
mm-hmm.
and she does amazing work, and
yes.
we love her.
we do.
It wasn't that long ago she messaged me, and she said, and I'm paraphrasing, but boy, do I have somebody for you. And so she gave me a little bit of your background, and I just thought, I can't wait to find the right time to have Sophia on, because this is an episode that I think is not just, you know, it's a great opportunity to share your story,
mm-hmm.
because I think when we've done these alumni episodes like this, it's so valuable for teachers, I think,
mm-hmm.
for teachers to go and, like, show them or have students listen to them.
Yeah.
Because when you're 16, when you're
yeah.
17, when you're 18, there's a lot of voices.
Yes.
There's a lot of voices, lots of inputs.
Yes.
I mean, it's been a minute since I was there, but I remember it's hard to sort of pick and choose
mm-hmm.
what's the right or what's
yes.
the best voice to listen
mm-hmm.
to or the best path to take. And I think real examples,
yes.
real world examples
mm-hmm.
like you are the most profound way to
yeah.
help high school students either find their way or understand that finding their
yeah.
way might be unique.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah no. It being unique was a big thing for me because throughout this, I really haven't had, like, anybody I could really look at that, like, had a path
mm-hmm.
similar to me
yeah.
In the sense of, like, I had an idea that I really wanted to go to, and like in high school I was also very ambitious. Like I wanted to get my associates done before I graduated high school, and I did. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said I shouldn't, actually. That was something that a lot of people were worried about, me overworking myself and such. And so like there was a lot of these things I wanted to do that I thought would be beneficial, but a lot of people either were concerned or they thought it was like the best idea in the world. And so a big thing also for high school students with all those voices, I feel like, is also finding the confidence to know your own voice and really learning when to not let everybody else weigh in on your choices sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because some of those choices for me, like I thought they were like an awful idea because other people did, and then they turned out to be so beneficial in the long run, mm-hmm. like now that I'm in college and such. And so like it's really just looking at things in a practical way and knowing yourself enough to have the confidence in the right decisions too. Yeah. Is a big thing.
That's
so
that is
yeah.
Confidence is a word that comes up a lot.
Yes.
I mean, I think it's certainly a trait that everyone hopes to have and mm-hmm. continues to sort of want to improve upon. But again, I look at students like you. I look at students that I've observed and visited in schools all over the mm-hmm. country, and that's been one of the words that always comes to mind when I see Project Lead the Way students sort of in action, whether they're presenting their capstone or if they're just showing a project that they're working on or mm-hmm. they're explaining what they've designed in yeah. any way, in any of those formats. Project Lead the Way students as a generality seem to have a level of confidence.
Yes.
That I don't remember having as a student. And I think it
yeah.
comes from a lot of different places. Maybe some,
yeah.
maybe they're just naturally confident. But I tend to think
yes.
that there's something else going on
mm-hmm.
with the way that content is
yes.
is taught and the freedom that students mm-hmm. are given, that confidence builds.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, again, that's a
yeah.
quality that isn't directly taught.
Yes.
It is
yeah.
a beautiful byproduct.
Yes.
I think.
No,
I think you show that.
I 100% agree, because I was not good at talking, presenting, anything when I started high school. And the projects, at least how mine, every time we did a project in a PLTW class, you always have to present it,
yeah.
which used to be like the bane of my existence.
Yes.
I hated presenting
yes.
my projects. I felt like I had no idea what to say or what was happening, even if I'm the one that mm-hmm. did it.
You're the expert.
I'm the expert, and I
yeah.
still felt like I didn't know what to say always. But by my senior year, I'm like, you kind of have to build that confidence, like, or at least a level of comfort, even if you're not confident still in being able to talk about things that you've done. And it's kind of also finding a self-ownership in that, like, I did this, I can present it and talk to people about it. And that translates into so many other areas too. Even just decision-making is really big too, because like, if you can own something you created and like be like, this is a good product, this is what I did, then you can also be like, I made this decision. Like, I did this because I thought it was a good thing for me. And that's just a really valuable lesson to learn. And it, like you said, is a very big byproduct, I feel like, of the program, especially if it's formatted well within a school.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Outstanding. Well,
yeah.
Listen, I say this at the end of most episodes. We could sit here and chat for
yes.
hours. I so much appreciate you traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've got a research project going this summer. I know you're working. You've got a whole lot on your plate.
Yes.
So I know that myself and the team are really grateful for you to take time out to come out to Indianapolis
mm-hmm.
to share your story. I hope that folks watch and listen and not only recognize your journey, but also hopefully can see that it can be a benefit to share with other teachers and other
mm-hmm.
other students that might be in that point of like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
And I think that your story is a really great one for them to be able to learn from. So
mm-hmm.
thank you for being here. That brings us to the end of another Project Lead the Way alumni spotlight here on Inspired, a PLTW podcast. Don't forget to check us out wherever you get your podcasts. follow us on YouTube, do all the things, like all the things, and we'll see you next time.